Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and I get a lot of really good ideas from my friend Dr. Greg Borgond, or Greg B, as you probably know him, from Guy Talk. And he was telling me that life is full of unfounded what-ifs. We always think, what if? And that could be something that would get us caught in a cycle that where the enemy loves for us to be, because we stay stuck. What really matters is what is. So we're going to talk today about avoiding the what-ifs if they lead you to a perceived reality, and replace the what-ifs with what is. You might save a relationship instead of destroying it. You also might be able to move forward with plans in your life because you are right now maybe living in the what-if arena, and we're going to try to move you out of that today. Greg, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back here, Bill.
Thank you. So I think I started with the end in mind. I think that Stephen Covey book says always start with the end in mind. So if we do this hour well, we will hopefully encourage people to take the what-ifs in their life and try to replace it with what is.
Absolutely.
So talk about that. Put some defining terms on the what-ifs and the what is.
Well, oftentimes, what-ifs take us to places that we wouldn't normally go because we end up exaggerating circumstances or experiences, and we kind of warp them all out of proportion, and they believe that that's our reality, when in effect, it's an alternate universe we've created in our mind. Now, there are legitimate what-ifs. And there are illegitimate what-ifs, you know.
Let's talk about each one, because that's important.
All right. A legitimate what-if, or let's talk about illegitimate, first of all. When we go ahead and we start to speculate about things that have little chance of happening, we don't realize it at the moment. For instance, you know, we could say to ourselves, what if I get struck by lightning today? Well, what are the chances of that happening?
You'd be headlining the 10 o'clock news.
Yes, that's,
that's
right.
For sure.
Will I be hit by a car today? Am I being followed? Should I leave the house today? Are people laughing at me? Does my boss hate me? Has God turned his back on me? Will I be taken advantage of? So all as humans, we kind of tend to second guess the decisions that we need to make. In many cases, we decide not to decide. We put off an important decision and justify our procrastination. We don't have all the information we think we need to make the decision, or we're afraid to make a decision, fearing we'll miss a more viable option, or our mind, and this is the point, Bill, conjures up possible scenarios we might encounter.
Okay.
These scenarios often are far-fetched and reflecting our fears of the unknown. These scenarios often take us to places, again, where reasonable assessment wouldn't bring us. So we become increasingly facing what we perceive are insurmountable barriers that probably don't even exist. So our perceptions of reality become blurred and are warped, and our work kind of out of proportion, as we said, with the evidence before us. But there's nothing wrong with entertaining possible but realistic consequences.
Okay. So would that be the plan B route?
Yeah.
Which is legitimate what if?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, there are legitimate questions we can ask. You know, I'll give you an example. For instance, let's just in terms of wise practice, let's talk about a situation. Maybe you're considering an option about buying a house.
Okay.
So a legitimate what if is, what if the interest rate jumps a point? Well, then your plan B that you're referring to, well, then here's my next steps.
Okay.
So that's a legitimate what if.
That's a legit what if.
What if house insurance increases by 10%? We've seen that happen dramatically.
Plan on it. Yeah.
Yes, plan on it. That's right. That's legitimate. That's realistic.
Oh, yeah.
What if the closing costs exceed a certain amount? What if we don't get the pay raise that we're expecting.
Yeah, especially if you dug the pool in the backyard and you didn't get the pay raise that you were thinking was going to finance it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so those are legitimate what-ifs, and you have to have a backup plan, and it's good to be thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't want to do is go off onto rabbit trails that build in a crescendo in your life, that create an alternate universe that kind of lives in your mind.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you're asking questions that have little chance of ever becoming a reality. We have to remember that Satan lives in the realm of the what-ifs that we're just talking about
okay.
right now, the unrealistic ones. But God operates in the realm of what is.
Okay, profound, Greg Borgon. Say that again. Satan operates
in the realm of what if.
So if you're
often exaggerated, okay. off the chart
okay.
Ideas that there's an outside chance they could happen, but chances are they won't happen at all. So he operates in that realm. He'd rather us be going in circles, addressing issues that have no chance of come into reality, where God wants us to operate in the what is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the battle takes place, the what if versus the what is,
mm-hmm.
the uncharacteristic what if that takes us down the rabbit trails, and the what is reality? What can I reasonably expect to happen here?
Okay. Now, Greg, I know we're going to put a lot more meat on these bones, which I'm looking forward to, but I do want to admit to something that I was sort of dealing with 35 years ago, where a counselor I was talking to said, "Bill, what you're doing right now is awfulizing." And I thought, "What does that mean?" And he said, "You take a scenario, you create a scenario in your mind, projecting in the future that something might happen, and then you put it in your brain as if it's happening today,
mm-hmm.
and it is something that may or may not ever happen."
Yeah, it immobilizes us.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it just petrifies us and in place, and
yeah.
so we just can't get out of that circular argument,
yeah.
it seems.
I stopped seeing that counselor, by the way.
So on the one hand, the question we need to really ask ourselves, are my concerns really possible, or are they a figment of my imagination?
Okay. That's...
Are they imagined scenarios, inflated or exaggerated beyond reasonable expectations, or do I tend to over-worry about things that rarely emerge as a real and legitimate concern? Am I inclined to pursue these rabbit trails? You know, we all have to ask ourselves those questions because many of us are just prone to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up deciding not to decide because we're trapped into this realm, this alternate universe.
All right, time for a five-person survey. And we know how this works. Why do you know how this works? The five-person survey?
So.
Yeah. Well, I want to get the first five people that respond, and then we'll talk about what comes out on top. Are you a what-if person, or are you a what-is person? Because I'm curious. The first five people will have our results, because there's going to be at least three out of five. Are you a what-if person or a what-is person? 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Are you a what if or a what is? This is an important topic because Greg Borgon was just telling me if the what if person is a place where Satan is going to be able to have access to you because it's kind of an endless cycle. You rehash stuff in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What if this happens? What if that happens?
Yep,
what if this
exactly.
goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And you say, Greg, that Satan really likes you to be in that state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He wants you in that state. You know, maybe it'd be helpful, Bill, if we give an illustration, more specific illustration. In a premarital counseling session with a young couple recently, the prospective groom had serious doubts about the trustworthiness of his future bride. When I probed his concerns, it was obvious that he based his fears on some unfounded circumstances. Because he was betrayed by someone in the past, his mind kind of conjured up negative scenarios about his intended spouse. His speculation followed a predictable pattern. Here's what it was.
So, in other words, she's getting somebody else's mail. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what if she lied to me?
All right.
What if she wasn't where she said she was going to be? What if she cheats on me? What if I'm being strung along? You can see how they build on each other, and all of a sudden you're creating this alternate universe. What if she is manipulating me? What if she only tells me what I want to hear? What if she doesn't love me? What if she falls in love with someone else? What if she betrays me? What if she leaves me?
Okay.
That's what can break a relationship. It's all these speculations, these unfounded speculations. Instead of asking the spouse themselves or the fiance herself if there's any truth to these, we just allow our mind to play with them. So you can see where this is going. Unreasonable expectations tend to feed on themselves, and they build more exaggerated scenarios the longer we entertain them. So contemplating unsubstantiated circumstances, events, or interactions and encounters without verifiable proof can destroy a beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when we allow our mind to play with our perceptions, producing these false understandings of the circumstances, we blow our thoughts out of proportion. If we play with these thoughts over time, we begin to believe they're real, even though the real facts say otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I've just seen, Bill, marriages dashed on the rocks because of the what-ifs, overwhelmed by the what-ifs.
Well, the results are in, Greg. And I think we've got a winner. Wyatt, what is it?
We do, and I appreciate everybody's honesty. Out of the first five that we had sent in, there were four what-ifs and one what is.
Wow.
That's amazing. That doesn't surprise me, but it's interesting to have it verified by her.
So we got some work to do, Greg Borgon.
Yes, we do.
Because
we
want to help people get out of that what-if zone.
Yeah.
Because if that's where they're vulnerable to Satan's lies, we want to get them on different ground.
Well, this is Satan's playground, really, is what it is. I mean, Satan lives in the realm of what-if, as we've talked about.
Yeah. Well, Greg, what if I share my faith with someone and they reject me and don't ever want to be my friend anymore?
Well, that can be a consequence.
Yeah.
I mean, do you not share at all because you're fearful of losing their friendship? Or do you stand in bold relief and ask that question and have the results validate whether or not it's true?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, the questions that we ask, which are legitimate questions, don't yield the answer we hoped it would. Or like you're suggesting, Bill, it could break up a relationship. And that happens.
Yeah.
But it's based on reality. You have to check those things out.
Sometimes I think, did I pick the wrong time to talk to them about it? Did I not sense that they were open to it? So, you know, those are the kind of second guesses I have.
Well, here's the what is of that. The fact of the matter is, when we engage in a discussion about faith with anyone, it's just not you and me. It's you, me, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John 16:8 says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You're asking a legitimate question, and they may respond in a negative way, but you have a responsibility, is what you're talking about, Bill, to that person, but you cannot take responsibility for them. And you have to understand that when you step out in faith, even with gentleness and respect, and share the truth, they, because they have the gift of free will, can reject it. They can push back on you.
Mm-hmm.
They can set up a barrier to your friendship.
Mike Mitkowski.
Well, let me just say, Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest, and we're talking today about the what-ifs versus the what-is. And Greg says that Satan will often live in the realm of what-if, where God operates in the realm of what-is. So we're going to really focus on this today. And if you have a question or comment, you're so welcome to text it over, 877-933-2484. And we'll be right back in just a minute.
Ann texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Ann has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Ann will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest. You might know him as Greg B. from Guy Talk or Guys Who Talk. But today we're talking about the what ifs versus the what is. And Satan is really the master of causing uncertainty in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we can date this back to a pretty early account going back as far as Genesis, can't we, Greg?
Yeah. Eve in the garden, for instance, if you look at Genesis 3:1, it kind of is a case study for what we're talking about here. That's where it initiated. And this is what that passage says. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, here's the statement, Bill, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So already he's distorting the what is and trying to take her to the land of what if.
Yeah. What if he didn't mean that? What if that's not what he meant? Yeah. There we are, we're in the what ifs.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, is that what she's probably questioning? Well, maybe. Maybe he didn't actually say that, but he's already won then.
No, but she fires back, well.
Yeah. So you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. So anyway, there are corrective measures for this kind of a scenario of trying to differentiate between, am I living in the realm of unrealistic what-ifs? I need to train myself to recondition myself through the power of God's word to the realm of what is.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some corrective measures that can stop us from going down those rabbit trails. So how do we stop this destructive behavior? How do we replace the what if with the what is? Sometimes the what if stretches a remote possibility, or else you wouldn't even consider it. I mean, if there wasn't some remote possibility you could get hit by lightning, you would have never entertained it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemy plays on it, but it distorts it, blows it out of proportion. So in this particular case, the what if stretches a remote possibility. After all, it is possible. What would we consider it, or would we even consider it if it wasn't? So sober thinking is required. And here's what I mean by sober thinking. We need to ask ourselves these questions. What are the chances that this will really happen?
Okay.
And the second question might be, has something like this happened to me before?
Ooh, so is there a precedence?
Yeah, is there a frequent occurrence
mm-hmm.
that legitimizes or illegitimizes my concern? Am I worrying about something remotely possible but unrealistically feasible? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Is the enemy sowing unfounded and unsubstantiated rumors in my mind? Remember, the enemy cannot read your mind, but he can sow thoughts in your mind. Is there any evidence at all that this situation is even possible?
Mm. So that's sober thinking.
Huh?
That's sober thinking.
Yeah, it is sober thinking.
Yeah.
What can I do to determine the veracity or the truth of my speculation? Well, first of all, you can check out the facts. Find out what is. You know, so many of us build our lives on perceptions of reality. And what we say to ourselves, well, my perception is my reality. Well, I would say to that individual, no, it's not, because it's not based on truth. Because what'll happen if you have a perception about reality that's not truth? Your expectations will be set against something that isn't going to happen. And you'll end up being taken to places the enemy wants to take you to immobilize you, to move you to the sidelines, to help you or to distort your thinking. There's an interesting story. Some time ago, you're probably old enough to know this, I think, Bill. Some time ago, a compelling Wendy's ad, you know, regarding the quality of its hamburger meat compared to other companies. So they put this woman in, a prickly senior citizen, and she made this comical retort, where's the beef?
See, I'm way too young, Greg. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is that a perception of reality? Or is that reality?
Yeah, that's a perception of reality.
Perhaps our suspicions would evaporate if we proactively look for the truth before wandering off
mm-hmm.
into fantasies about a given situation. We might want to pursue answers to the following questions. One, what really happened or didn't happen? What are the facts?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any real evidence that my partner is untrustworthy? Does what I know about her justify my concerns? When I was talking to this couple, I was posing these questions to the individual. Is she in the habit of behaving in accordance with your perceptions? I asked him, what is her track record regarding these issues? Has she shown to be reliable, responsible, and trustworthy? Then why are you doubting it?
He's just showing his anxiety and fear about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And that's the realm of what ifs is also the realm of fear.
Yeah, but she's getting somebody else's mail too. I'll say that again, because if he had bad experiences, he's hoping and trusting, and he needs some kind of promise that it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. And those are legitimate questions to ask. Otherwise, it's speculation. Otherwise, you'll play the mind games.
Right.
So have I asked her about these issues in a non-accusatory way? Do those who know her best share my concerns? That's one way of getting at the what is versus traveling in this desert called the what if.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all about threshold management, Bill.
Yeah. Can I quote my friend Todd Mullican, who's going to be on the show Friday? And Greg, I think you're going to like this. Todd says, speak without being offensive and listen without being defensive.
Absolutely. I like that statement.
Text me, Todd, if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another strategy for dealing with the unrealistic what ifs versus the what is. Neil Anderson, a friend of mine and of late of Freedom in Christ Ministries, taught me about stopping temptation at what's called the threshold. Although he's speaking about temptation, an application, I think, Bill, can be easily made in this situation. Anderson calls it threshold thinking. In other words, when speculating about someone's perceived behavior, we should stop the speculation at the threshold.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, further speculation can lead us to an erroneous conclusion. So he offers this neat little story, which I think drives the point home. He says, temptation always comes by way of a thought, and the key to resisting temptation is to take the initial thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And he says, I found a humorous Kathy cartoon. Do you remember that?
No, I sure do.
And you must be so young.
Well, I'm young, but I did see that once.
Yeah. Yeah. That illustrates how an unchecked initial thought carries her away into a runaway freight train. Here's the first frame of the cartoon. I'll take a drive, but I won't go near the grocery store. Second frame. I'll drive by the grocery store, but I won't go in. Third frame. I'll go into the grocery store, but I will not walk down the aisle where the Halloween candy is on sale. Frame four. I'll look at the candy, but I won't pick it up. Frame five. I'll pick it up, but I won't buy it. Frame six. I'll buy it, but I'm not going to open it. Frame seven, open it, but not smell it. Frame eight, smell it, but not taste it. Frame nine, taste it, but not eat it. Frame 10, eat, 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 eat.
Yeah.
So the question is, when should she have stopped this downward spiral? First of all, the scriptures teach that God has provided a way of escape for every temptation. We know that from 1 Corinthians 10:13.
And that should be a verse everyone should memorize.
Yes. That there's no temptation overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful and just and will give you a way to escape, even a way to endure it. And so that's the promise that we have from the Lord. As illustrated by Kathy's experience, however, the escape probably would have occurred before, should have occurred before the first frame. So Kathy lost the battle when she decided to go for a drive. If you don't take captive the initial thought, you'll probably lose the battle. So when you're going down this rabbit trail of speculation, you need to stop it right at the threshold, the first time that unrealistic question enters your mind. That's called threshold thinking. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, we read, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You see, when our mind and emotions wander into speculative and unfounded arenas like what we're talking about today,
mm-hmm.
we need to take our thoughts captive at the threshold.
So good. Dr. Greg Borgon's my guest. Greg, here's a question that came in. Please address that a lot of what ifs come from childhood feelings of lack of safety, trying to anticipate danger, disappointment, strategy to avoid hurt and danger, and that the realization that God keeps us safe is essential to understanding why the what if is no longer necessary.
Yeah. Well, I think that that person is absolutely right, because we can build our life based on our experiences, abusive situations when we were younger, circumstances we had little control over. But that perception is their reality for sure. But you can change that by removing that falsehood and replacing it with truth and start to act on it in the same direction. This is exactly what this person is talking about, that you have to replace it with truth and not be hamstrung or to be shackled to your past. God wants to bring you to the victory of your future. You've heard me say on the show several times, the enemy's strategy is to remind you of the failures of your past.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to bring you to the victory of your future, and the struggle is in the present, but God is God and Satan is not.
Mm-hmm. Greg, here's another comment. I grew up in a non-Christian, very negative, what if, worst scenario home. It's very hard to retrain our minds, and it's a lot of hard work. Praise God for his word and his help. Thank you for the practical tips.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Yeah, it's a matter of disciplining yourself. And sometimes our journey with the Lord is two steps forward and one back. Sometimes it's two steps backward and one forward.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is not to be cemented in place,
mm-hmm.
that you have to keep going forward. And when you act on God's truth in the same direction over time, consistently, coherently, and congruently, God ends up changing those embedded strongholds and replaces them with the hope of the future and truth.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you said something a little bit earlier about in the what ifs or the corrective measures, which is there any evidence, is there a way I can determine the truth of my speculation?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I was looking for. So this is a corrective measure. Is there anything I can do to determine the truth of my speculation? And mm-hmm. is one of the ways to do that is to get in a community of like-minded believers or wise counsel or people that you love and trust and have your best, and just say out loud what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And they'll quickly say, well, that's not legitimate. You shouldn't think, you shouldn't worry about that.
There's wisdom in many counselors,
oh, yeah.
is what you're referring to,
exactly.
Bill. And so consequently, sometimes we're so blinded by this alternate universe of speculation, we can't see with clarity what the truth is. And so we need to rely on others. Keep in mind that the scripture also says that the enemy prowls about looking for someone to devour. He's looking for somebody that removes themselves from the, you know, the herd in this particular case, so that they're defenseless, that they're not getting good counsel. And then he starts to play these mind games with us. And so consequently, when he isolates us, which is the wrong thing to do, and that's the natural inclination. I work with men all the time who, when they get in trouble, feel the best solution is to remove themselves from whatever context they're in that may be supported by friends and others, and try to solve it themselves, only to be, again, wrapped around the axle.
Mm-hmm.
And they rarely ever can solve it by themselves.
Mm.
So we have to be counterintuitive about this. The very moment when we want to isolate ourselves, we need to train ourselves to gather around us what you're suggesting, many counselors that will help us see the truth, even though we might not be able to see it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What ifs versus what is? Now, Satan is going to try to keep us in the what if category, or God wants us in the what is category. Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest. If you have a question or comment, please text it over to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back in just a minute.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, what's for dinner? It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
We're talking today about what ifs and what is. And if you're living in the what ifs category, you're placing yourself where Satan can keep you locked in a cycle of stagnation. Mm-hmm. If you live in the what is reality, you're living in a way that God, where God wants you to be. So Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest. And Greg, let's talk about the temptation in the desert. It seems like there were three what ifs.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that experience.
Yeah, you're talking about chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. It'd be helpful to read through this a little bit. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, here's the first what if, really. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.
Mm-hmm.
But he answered, it is written. Now he's going to the what is. Jesus is going to the what is. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But Satan wasn't finished. And the next verse. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if, there we go again, that's the what if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you. Now, and on their hands, they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Notice that there is a possibility of that, or it wouldn't be entertained, but Jesus responds with the what is. He says, Jesus said to him, again, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him up. Here's the third time. The devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I'll give to you. Speculative, right? All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus answers again with a what is. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only should you serve. And so then the devil's finished. He got rid of his whole arsenal here. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So not only do we see it initially in Genesis with Eve, we're seeing it in the temptation of Christ, that the enemy lives in the realm of speculative what-ifs, where we need to live, as Christ has shown us by this example, in the reality of what is.
Greg, as you talk about that story of Jesus being tempted, what I really love about that those moments are Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days, and Scripture says he got tempted by the enemy throughout those 40 days. And I always thought, well, at what point in his hunger and alone time did Satan come with these three offers?
Yeah.
Was it midway through? We don't know.
We don't know, but here's the, at least what I draw from it, Bill, is that Satan will rarely ever attack you when you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, you know, the physical, emotional, and spiritual energy to thwart his efforts. So here Christ was in a weakened state because of not having eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And like you said, we don't know exactly when it happened, but the fact of the matter is, Satan made a judgment call and said, okay, he's probably weak enough right now, and maybe he'll be susceptible to my temptations. So that's kind of a story for all of us, that oftentimes the what-if realm of speculation happens when we're tired, when something happened to us, a crisis we're facing, a conflict, a relational conflict or something. That's when we're most susceptible to entertaining unrealistic speculations, the what-ifs of our life.
Yeah, hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yeah.
Those are times when we start to go, what
Absolutely.
If, what if? But I love that Jesus responded with thinking, not with feeling.
Yeah.
He knew the Word of God, and he responded with truth. And, you know, if I'm 40 days without food and you say, turn these stones into bread, my feelings, if I let my feelings go first, I might make a bad decision. But Jesus always led with his thinking and the truth of God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's inspirational.
I mean, it's a volitional choice that we make. You know, we don't think we do because we're consumed by sadness or despair or discouragement or even the sense of, like, these scenarios we've been talking about, betrayal. Betrayal is such a debilitating emotion. When you feel betrayed, that's when your mind wanders. That's when you start building these hyperbolic ideas about what we think is reality at the moment, these large exaggerated ideas. And if we allow the enemy, instead of doing what Christ did and resorting to Scripture and quoting what is versus what if, then we'll be taken to places that we'll have no control over.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Greg Borgon is my guest. We're talking about the what ifs versus the what is. And if you're a what if person, and our little 5-person survey said, 4 said I'm a what if and 1 said I'm a what is. So we're going to try to help shift that thinking so you can maybe move into the what is, which is where God wants you to live, because that's reality. And if you go on a what if rabbit hole, you're going to end up in places where Satan can use your stalling, your stagnation, your confusion to keep you stuck.
That's right. You'll be a pinball bouncing from one crisis to another.
I'm old enough to remember that game,
pinball. So when we're talking again, let's just revisit one thing right now, and that's this whole thing again about perception versus reality. Stability or significance, or in this case, security, is always a function of our grasp of reality and the expectations we set against that. So the degree to which we experience this security depends on the relationship between reality and expectations.
Okay, so, you're going to need to re-say that.
Yeah. So the idea is that if we have speculated that something is true, then we're going to act in accordance with that falsehood.
Gotcha.
We're going to draw the wrong conclusions, or we're going to respond to somebody in a negative way, and there's no proof that that's a reality.
Right.
So the idea is that you've got to, first of all, grasp what the reality is. And we started off today by suggesting several questions that we can ask so that we can get our arms around what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and only then, can we assign expectations against that truth and it be a reasonable expectation. If your spouse has not cheated on you, and you have thought that they have just because the enemy has taken you there, you've got to go to the truth and realize and even ask questions or talk to friends so that you can come to a basis of truth, and so that you don't go down wrong or assign wrong expectations to the motives of somebody else.
Okay.
So that's an important thing to recognize. So if our reality is not based on the certainty of truth, and instead is based on a misperception or a falsehood, then our expectations will be unrealistic. They'll be practically unattainable and unrealized. So contrary to popular opinion, as we've talked about earlier, our perceptions aren't our reality.
Mm-hmm.
What we perceive to be true may be, in fact, a lie, a fiction, or a falsehood. So living that way will only produce disappointment, despair, discouragement, and failure, an alternative reality that has no basis, again, in true identity.
Mm. That's hard to hear, Greg, because there's a lot of people listening right now that feel that you're speaking to them.
Yeah. Well, here's a more innocent example. For instance, telling a child he or she can do anything if they just simply apply themselves is a misrepresentation at best and a lie at worst. Expectations adjusted to this falsehood result in utter frustration for that child, adversely impacting their self-esteem and curtailing their motivation going forward, because God didn't wire them that way. The truth of the fact is the what is they're not wired that way. And God has placed something else in them that we need to come alongside. So the truth is that we can become all we are capable of becoming based on our innate talents and wiring, circumstances we're experiencing, the opportunity that presents itself, if we apply ourselves accordingly. That's the what is.
I like that. I like that. All right, we're going to take a little break. My guest is Dr. Greg Borgon. You might know him as Greg B. from Guy Talk. So we'll return to our conversation about the what ifs versus the what is. God wants us to live in the what is. If you're a what if person and you missed any of this discussion today, I do recommend you check out the podcast at myfaithradio.com. And it is fundraising season, and boy, are you needed. So when you give, you tell more people about the life-transforming power of Jesus. And the time is upon us. So you can help Faith Radio by even giving a gift now if you want to be the first one on your block to do so. You can text the word give to 877-933-2484. And we'll be right back. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224. We're talking about a couple little words today. What if? And that can send you down a rabbit hole talking about what ifs. And if you go down that long enough, you'll give the enemy time to confuse you and to keep you stuck. So we want to talk about the other two little words today, which is what is, which is where God wants you to live in reality. Yeah. So, Greg, I know we've got a couple of verses that we can talk about as we conclude our time together.
Yeah. Let me first say that, to go back at the beginning, there are legitimate what ifs, Bill.
Oh, I know.
So we're not talking about the legitimate ones that are based on stuff right in front of us that we have to make a decision about, and as you said, to have a plan B. Those are legitimate. So what we're really focusing on are the unrealistic, the speculative what ifs.
And I'm glad you made that distinction again, because if people just joined the hour now, they're going to go, well, no, I have plan Bs all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and
don't tell me what ifs
that.
Are wrong.
Yeah.
Nope.
If that what if is planned on, is based on reality, those are legitimate what ifs.
Amen.
We have to ask
Amen.
Those questions. So what really matters, of course, is the what is. Avoiding the what ifs, if they lead you to a perceived and fantasized reality, that's what we want to do, is avoid those. Replace the what ifs with what is. So you'll end up saving a relationship instead of destroying it in one particular scenario. Let me just share a few verses as we wrap up the session, Bill, so that it gives people an idea of how to respond. In 2 Timothy 2:23, in the New American Standard Version Bible, it says, "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels." That quarrel might not be necessarily with somebody else. That quarrel might be in your own mind. So you want to avoid those unnecessary quarrels. So refuse, that's that threshold thinking again, foolish and ignorant speculations. Call them for what they are. They may be given to you as a thought by the enemy, or they may be based on your own predispositions and biases. Matthew 6:34 in the English Standard Version, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything." Oftentimes when we're speculative, unrealistically speculative, it creates nothing but anxiety in our life. So here the scripture says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus against these speculative thoughts, either sown by the enemy or by yourself. And then we have Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then finally, Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Powerful.
That's awesome. So if we look at these verses and we put them in our hearts and we can memorize them, we can let the Holy Spirit bring them to our minds whenever we get stuck in a what-if cycle, and it's not realistic, mm-hmm. and you're down a rabbit hole of saying, what if? And it's just not in line with what God wants.
No,
we can apply these verses.
Yeah. The Word of God, as we've said, is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the division of the soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and a discerner of the true thoughts and intents of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that Scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So maybe when these speculative thoughts find their way into your thinking, refresh your thinking with the Word of God. That's what we're encouraging mm-hmm. people to do.
And Greg, just for people who just joined in, the what ifs, and we did point this out, when we talked about the what ifs that aren't healthy, they're exaggerated speculations.
Yeah. Unfounded perceptions of reality.
Yeah. What if I go on this picnic today and I agree to go and I get lost getting there and then I get there and I get struck by lightning?
Yeah. And that, again, can immobilize you.
It can. Yeah.
It can stop you from moving forward either literally or even spiritually because you're petrified in place.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you're thinking, has God turned his back on me? My needs aren't being met. I can't pay my bills.
Yeah.
This is not healing. I don't know what tomorrow brings. Has God turned his back on me?
Yeah. Yeah. See, and it's building in crescendo. And it you know, when sinful thinking like that goes unabated, its shrill voice grows louder. So these speculations that we have, these unfounded speculations, they grow louder in our brain. And they need to be quelled by the peace of Christ.
I like that, Greg Borgon. This has been an interesting conversation. I think that this probably hits home with everybody at some point. Because when we took a little five-person survey, we asked, are you a what-if person or a what-is person? And it seemed to me that the overwhelming majority was I'm a what-if person. Mm-hmm. And Wyatt, if I remember correctly, there were some remarks added to it, like I'm a what-if person, unfortunately.
Yeah. Nobody necessarily likes to admit it, but it's good for us to understand where we are right now mm-hmm. is not where we could end up being by starting down this path.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So if you stay in the what-if category, you are probably, like Greg says, putting yourself in a position where the enemy can interfere, keep you stuck, keep you running in circles.
You become an open receptacle for his lies.
I don't like that at all. So that's not good at all. All right, Greg, I will probably be seeing you as early as tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
For Guide Talk. And I just got a note from Tom Parrish, and he already had someone send him questions. So no, they're not even going through me anymore.
Send him questions.
They sent him questions
for
directly.
Guide Talk tomorrow?
Yeah. So he sent me those questions.
Here's a speculative thought. Is he trying to usurp you, Bill?
I don't know. But thank you so much. And one of these days, I'm going to get you off my back and get you pizza.
Oh, gee whiz.
Then I'll never have to hear from you
probably
again.
Probably not until Christ comes.
We don't want to spoil him too much, Bill. Yeah, I think we maybe need to put the brakes on that one.
Yeah, you make a good point,
Boy,
Wyatt.
Bill has really rubbed off on you, Wyatt.
Yes, he has. He's learning from me. All right, we're going to take our little break, and I've got a really good second hour plan for you. And Scott Hubbard from Desiring God, and I don't know, Scott has just sort of moved into one of these guests of mine that when he comes on the show, I sit and marvel at the content he brings because he turns 35 this week and he's a young man, but he's got a lot of wisdom. He writes over at desiringgod.org and the topic is letting good things go. Sometimes we have a hard time doing that, and there's seasons for everything and God's timing is perfect. So we have to understand that in God's economy, he knows perfectly when the right time is for everything, even though we sometimes go kicking and screaming, and that's just kind of how things work. And then in the second half of the hour, my friend Bob Solheim, who's the director of NC Little Hospice, what an amazing story of how God led him into that. It is powerful. We're going to hear that and hear about the grace and mercy of people leaving this earth to go be with the Lord or not. So that's what's in store for hour two. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.